experience you the way I've never experienced before. I want you to show me great and mighty things, things that are too deep for me, things that only you can show, not things that I can make research on, but things that the Spirit of the Lord will inspire to you, things that the Spirit of God will show you, because that is the only thing that can transform your life. That is the only thing that can change the state of your existence. Tell God, Father, I want you to show up today. I want you to show up this day, this moment, so that I'll be able to see you. I'll be able to see your shape, and I'll be able to hear your voice. Come to share with us today is something that is very important and very necessary for us to know. You know, and when it comes to the things of God, we need to be very careful. And when it comes to the things of God, we need to give it the reverence it deserves. We need to give it the respect that it deserves. You know, and God is spirit, so it means that God cannot be physically or carnally deciphered. You must be in spirit to understand who God is, what God represents, and how God is moving. You know, the organ man, I would need you to work with me. You know, just give me a flowing sound, something in the background for a flowing sound, preferably maybe strings. Before I go on, there's a scripture that I have come to love. It's in the book of Isaiah chapter 35. You know, and I see Isaiah chapter 35 as a very prophetic scripture. Prophetic in the sense that it spans across everything. It's like the one medicine fits all, once you have the understanding behind it. You know, and it's a prophecy of a happy future for Zion. And I'm just going to read it for us. It's just 10 verses. Isaiah chapter 35, from verse 1, it says that the wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the feeble knees and make firm. Strengthen the feeble hand, the weak hands, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of waters. The hut of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up to it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Verse 10 says that the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now this scripture gives us the understanding of the prophetic destiny of Zion. Now I want you to understand that we are of the city of Zion. The Bible records it's called the heavenly Jerusalem. Now every one of us, as long as we are Christians, we are partakers of that heavenly Jerusalem. So we need to understand what the end of everything is. So no matter what situation we seem to be going through, or whatever seems to befall us, whenever we come to this kind of scripture, it gives us the certainty of how everything is going to end. The Bible records that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So this is just a word for someone. No matter what it seems, no matter what the darkness, no matter what the inconsistencies of life may throw at you, there is a solace in the scriptures that everything is going to turn alright as long as you are a partaker of Zion. So from time to time, I just want you to anchor that scripture and ruminate on it. You know, just read it to yourself, confess it from time to time, and let it be a part of you. So that whatever situations happen to you, you know exactly what to do about it. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Today, I briefly want to talk about something I titled Transactions with Knowledge. Transactions with Knowledge. We need to understand that knowledge is something that we can do business with. So there is some level and degree of transaction involved when it comes to knowledge, as it were. The book of Job is usually called the book of knowledge, because if you are a student of the scripture, you will understand that there are so many secret things in the book of Job. The book of Job is a book where many people fail to read, and is a book where many people have not been able to uncover the depths of God, the depths of knowledge in all of what happened to Job. But the crux I'm going to this morning in the book of Job is, there's a part in the book of Job where God spoke. Now from Job 1 all the way to 37, Job was talking, his three friends were talking, and they were conversing. Now Job 38 was the time God disrupted everything, all of their conversation, and he said some things to Job. Now allow me to understand that Job 38 is one of the most cryptic chapters of the Bible, Job 38. Because those were the moments when God himself spoke. And the manner of questioning, because when God came to Job, God came in a whirlwind. And he started asking some questions from Job. But the most important one I want to go to is, let's go to Job chapter 38. Job 38. If we start from verse 1, Job 38 says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." That's Job 38. And verse 2 is the anchor scripture for what I'll be talking about today. God said that, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" God said to Job, "Who is this that darkens counsel with words without knowledge?" Now I want you to understand that that particular scripture is one of the foundations of the problems we have in the world. It's called darkened counsel. Some people call it perverted knowledge. They are words without knowledge. They are darkened counsel. And one thing we need to understand about knowledge is that everything you are today, everything you are right now, is as a result of the certain degree of knowledge you have. Because the truth of the matter is, if you know better than you do now, you will be better than you are now. That is the truth about it. If you know the secrets of prayer, if you understand the revelations and the dynamics of prayer, then you will know better how to pray. If you know the secrets of sowing, then you will do better in sowing. If you know what it means to be humble and to be obedient to God, if you are knowledgeable, you will become better. Now, the foundation of everything as we know it is founded on knowledge. Without knowledge, nothing will exist. Without knowledge, you cannot exist. Without knowledge, the earth cannot exist. Knowledge is that thing that reveals everything to everything. Knowledge is that thing that defines things. It is because there is a knowledge of a name. That's why they could give you a name. It's because they have a meaning of what a name is, the meaning and the significance of the name. That is why you have a name. If there was nothing like knowledge, we would all live purposeless lives. But because of the inception of knowledge, that is why we are where we are today. But I want you to understand that where you are today is not where necessarily God wants you to be today. So what will take you to the next level of your faith, of your walk with Christ, is how you make transactions with knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to learn to make transactions with knowledge. Now, the Bible, as we know it, this Bible, is born on the revelation of the knowledge of God. The reason why this Bible exists is because God wants us to know Him. So this Bible is a foundation of the revelation of the knowledge of God. If there was no Bible, many of us may not know God. We would not have a foundation to fix our faith with. We would not have an idea of purpose. We may never know who Abraham was. We may never even know about Jesus if there was no Bible. Now, I want you to understand that the scripture you are holding in your hand, this is the revelation of the knowledge of God. So if you really want to know who God is, what God is, the act of God, the mind of God, the first place for you to dive into is the Bible. Praise God. But you cannot do this except with the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot read the Bible intellectually. You will just bring philosophies out of it. But when you are reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit shows you things, then you understand the mind of God. You understand what God wants from you per season, per time. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 2, verse 5, it makes us to understand that the beginning of all knowledge is fear. The fear of God. Do we understand? The word fear in Hebrew is called yirah. And that word means reverence. It means piety. It means respect. So the kind of fear we are talking about is not the fear that you hear a lecturer coming and you start opening books. Or you hear your father coming and you start rearranging the house. That is not the kind of fear I'm talking about. This is a reverential fear. A kind of fear you have for something you love. Now the Bible makes us to understand that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I want you to understand that many of us, because we lack the knowledge of our identity, we lack that knowledge. Many of us do not know that when God was creating us, there was a part of God that was afraid. But the fear is not an insecurity kind of fear. A fear of the potential that man carries. The potential that you carry. The things you can do. The things God has put into you to do. All of the things we have here are the works of man. God didn't create the pillar. God didn't create microphone. God didn't create the watch, the clock. God didn't create most of the things you see here. They are the works of man. It's the potential that God has put into man. But many of us are still not accessing that realm of knowledge the way God intends for us to do it. Now, the way Adam was filled with so much knowledge that he knew what to call the animals. God didn't give him a mock test that, okay, when you see this animal, this is the kind of name you should call it. No.
instinctively, because Adam was functioning with realms of knowledge, he was able to give attributes to animals and everything we see. That is why man is still plagued, in quotes, with that thirst to dominate things. That's why when man creates something, he names it. Is God, is man that called this mic? Is man that called this speaker? Is man that called this cement? Is man that called what you are putting on clothes? Now man has the tendency of creating things and naming it. That is an attribute of God himself. But we need to understand that there's a path we need to function in when it comes to knowledge. Many of us are not trading well with knowledge. And I'm going to show you some things you need to do when it comes to trading with knowledge. Now, when it comes to the things of the kingdom, I appreciate the memory verse you guys have for the week in Matthew 6, 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things will be added unto you. Now you need to understand that there are many things involved when it comes to the kingdom of God. One of the things involved is knowledge. There is a knowledge of the kingdom every Christian must possess. If you don't have the knowledge of the kingdom, there are some things you can never do. There are some things you will never do. Because that dimension will not be open to you. I want you to understand that in the 1628s and 1550s, there was actually Wi-Fi. There was Wi-Fi. There was potential for internet then, but they were not open to it because they did not have the knowledge. The kind of knowledge we have now, that we know that, okay, we can put some things together and broadcast RF signals. We can put some things together and we'll be able to receive microwave signals. They did not have that knowledge then. But now we have it. There is a progression of knowledge. The way knowledge is progressing in the earth realm, spiritually as Christians, we need to progress in knowledge. But before we can understand and operate in the knowledge of the kingdom, we need to understand two important things. We need to understand alignment and balance. You need to understand alignment and balance. If you miss either of these two, you cannot function in the knowledge of God. Now, many of us are very, very dogmatic when it comes to some kind of knowledge because we don't know how to balance things. We don't know that when there is knowledge, there is need for balance. We don't know that when there is knowledge, we need alignment. Now, what is alignment? Alignment means that there is a line, and that line, you must stay on it. You must not move to the left. You must not move to the right. You must stay on that path and keep walking. The moment you fall out of line, you miss alignment. That is the reason why Jesus says that the road to the kingdom, he said, narrow is the gate, narrow is the road, narrow is the gate. It means there is no space for you to be distracted. It's either you are in or you are out. It's so narrow that you cannot carry something that does not conform with alignment. I want you to understand that many of the things we profess, many of the things we do, they are not in alignment with God's will. Many of the way we pray, they are not in alignment with God's will. Many of the things we'll say, many of the things we'll hear, they are not in alignment with God's will. And the moment we miss that point of knowledge, the moment we miss that point of alignment and balance, we cannot get anything right. Anything we do from that moment, it's a bonus for the devil. That's why you realize that many of the things we do as a people, later we realize that we've not really been working for God. We realize that we've not totally been obedient to God. When God says A, you say, okay, why not let me add B to it? Because you sense or you feel you are thinking for God. Now, I want you to understand that there's a place of knowledge. The Bible says, my people are destroyed. My people perish because they lack knowledge. The knowledge we are talking about is not Google knowledge. The knowledge we are talking about is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His kingdom, the knowledge of His righteousness. Knowing who God really is, knowing what God really is, knowing the identity of God and the personality of God. That's why the first thing I questioned was how you guys were singing the songs. Because you don't understand the meaning of that name of God you are mentioning. Now, whenever the Hebrews mention names like Elohim, whenever they mention names like Adonai, there is a kind of homage they give to those names. But here in Nigeria, because many of us are not conversant with the Hebrew culture, we just say God, we say Elohim, Adonai, and we just say it like that. There is a certain name of God that the Hebrews can call just once a year. That once you've called that name once, the name of God, you cannot call that name again until the next year. That is how much we understand the knowledge of God. But many of us as Christians, because of grace, we believe that we can do some things and go away with it. It doesn't work like that. I've come today not to motivate us. I've come today to make you to understand some things that we are doing that is stopping us from progressing. I've come today to make you understand that there are some things that you need to stop. There are some things you need to start to really get to where you want to get to in life. And until you start, until you know those things, you can never start. In the book of Revelation, if you go to Revelation and you start reading from verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, one of the first things John will always say is, I looked, and I saw. Now, the first thing that ushered him is in chapter 5, he says, I looked into heaven and I saw a door open. Now, he didn't know what to do with the door. I want you to understand that the door had been opened. But the knowledge of the open door was not revealed to him yet. But in time he got that knowledge of the open door, he heard a voice. And that voice was his passport into the realm of the Spirit. The word says, come up here, and I will show you things that would happen hereafter. And John was caught in the realms of revelation, and he saw things. Mysterious things, and what Paul John has written down is one of the things that is saving humanity presently. Now, how many of us are so sensitive to that knowledge of God, that kind of knowledge of God? We need to understand that this is the best right of all Christians. It's not about a certain level of spirituality, but more importantly, a certain level of sensitivity and availability. Once you are available for God to use, and you understand the nature of God, and you know the kind of homage and respect God deserves, God will show. This is what we need to understand. This is what we need to break to cause a change in our lives. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. Now, there are two things involved, there are two orders of life that I wrote down, and I want to talk about them briefly. The first one is the lost order. The order that was lost. That was in the Adamic era. Now, what caused the lost order was because of what we read in Job chapter 38, verse 2. A darkened counsel. Now, when the serpent came to Eve, he brought a darkened counsel to Eve. A counsel that challenged the authority of God. God created everything in the garden, even with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he instructed Adam and Eve that don't taste it. But the devil came with a darkened counsel to test their obedience. Now, the moment they succumbed to that darkened counsel, an order was lost. And that's what man is still trying to recover up till today. But Jesus had to come into the new order, not the order that was lost, the new order. And what Jesus came to do is a ministry of exchange. He didn't come necessarily to change us. Because of the nature of sin, we cannot be changed. We can only be exchanged. That was why Jesus had to die. He took our place. So we were exchanged. Now, this is the kind of knowledge a Christian should know that will make him stand against the devil whenever the devil comes. When the devil tells you some things about your past or some things that you have done, you need to make him to understand simple that you have been exchanged. I was talking to some people during the week about the strategies the devil uses to overcome us, and many people are falling for it. And the reason is because many people lack this knowledge we are talking about. Now, when the devil comes to you, I want you to understand, we all know about the temptation of Jesus Christ, when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And the devil came to Jesus. Now, you need to understand how to overcome temptations. Now, the way to overcome temptation is not to fight with the devil. You are not called as a Christian to fight with the devil. You need to understand this. You are called as a Christian to function from the realm of victory that Jesus has already won. Now, the authority of that victory is given to you as a believer. Whenever the devil comes, all you just need to do is to mandate that authority. Now, I'll give you three examples using the three temptations of Jesus Christ. The first time the devil came to Jesus, it was obvious Jesus was hungry. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Now, I want you to understand the analogy of that temptation. It was a need. Jesus was hungry. He needed food. But I want you to understand that Jesus had the power as the Son of God to turn stone to bread, because he even multiplied bread once in his lifetime. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus cannot say because he wants to overcome the devil that he will prove, that he will win the challenge. Now, many people have this winning mentality, which is not of God, which is not of the knowledge of God. Now, Jesus never had a winning mentality. If Jesus had a winning mentality, he wouldn't die on the cross. If Jesus had a winning mentality, he wouldn't do all the things he wanted to do. I mean, winning mentality in the conscious sense of it. Now, what you need to do when the devil comes with a temptation is to stay away from his zone. The moment you enter the zone of the devil, even if you do nothing, you've lost. You need to understand this. I'll give you another example. When the devil told Jesus that, okay, the whole world is mine, just bow down to me, and all of that, Jesus didn't stress word. You will realize that when the devil came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, hold on, let me go and fast for 7 days, and I will have enough power to come back. Power is not what defeats the devil. What defeats the devil is the testimony of Jesus and his finished work. So whenever the devil comes to you, for example, if you are sleeping and you see a masquerade in your dream, like the way they show in all those Yoruba movies. Now, when you wake up, I want you to understand this. When you wake up, what should motivate you, even if you would have to pray, is not because you saw a masquerade. You don't get it. I'll make you understand. Now, if the devil appears here now and says, in the next 3 hours, everybody here will die, I'm sure that this place will turn into a revival in the next 30 minutes. And everybody will start praying, God, I don't want to die. God, I don't want to die. The moment you start praying, God, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, you've lost the battle. Why? Because what influenced your response is something that came from the devil. And that is what is called a darkened counsel. The devil will always come to test the authority of God that is in you. All you just need to do to overcome the devil is to step back and enforce the authority of God. You know, the response of Jesus to the devil during the temptation was, it is written, it is written, it is written. He didn't say more than that. He proclaimed the word of God and he left the scene. You don't wait and you are tussling words with the devil. Like the way they do in this Yoruba movie, if two herbalists want to fight, one has a horn, one has one calabash. The first one will wait for the other person to finish his own, and they will now start bouncing words to. That is the natural way of doing things. In the kingdom way of doing things, what you need to understand, what will save you, is knowledge. The knowledge of the things of the kingdom you possess, the knowledge of the blood of Christ that you possess, the knowledge of the death of Jesus that you know. Now, all of these things cannot be known because someone said it. You must experience it. You must have an encounter with it. If you don't know what holiness looks like, you can never describe holiness. You need to have a knowledge of what holiness means. Not just a dictionary definition of holiness, but the actual meaning of holiness. You need to be able to see God in His holiness. That is when you understand what holiness means. So I want you to understand that if you are singing a song and you are saying, holy, holy, holy is God, holy is this, holy is that, and you've not had a revelation of what holiness means, you don't know what you are singing. If you look at the Psalms, everything is born out of an experience. Everything is born out of an encounter. Many of the hymns that we sing, especially all these Baptist hymns and all of that, they were not born because someone said, I feel like singing a good hymn. Many of them had bad experiences. Many of them went through hell. Now, out of the experience they went with, they saw God in a certain light. And a song was quickened in their spirit. That was how those songs were born. Now, those songs can only be born out of a knowledge of knowing who God is to you. Salvation is personal. So if you don't know who God is to you, you cannot really enjoy salvation. Praise God. So one of the things you need to understand now is you need to get knowledge. Not just any kind of knowledge, the knowledge that comes from God. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 22, it talks about the whole concept of repentance. Now what repentance really means is not saying, I'm sorry, or God have mercy. Repentance means there was a certain order you used to thread, but now you missed the path. Repentance is turning back to where you used to be and staying there. That is repentance. Most of the times, repentance does not really need verbal, words. It's a thing of the heart. But now, I said something that knowledge has basically two sides. There's a place of alignment and there's a place of balance. I need to bring balance into that. Because some people will leave here today and say, that man said, repentance, you don't need to see anything. There is a part in repentance where you need to openly show that you've repented. But the important thing about repentance is about your heart and your actions. The things you do. Now, when the adulterous woman was brought to Christ Jesus, and Jesus said he was not seen before, through the first one, and everybody left because they've seen before. And Christ asked the woman, where are all your accusers? She said, they've left. Said, so what happens now? Jesus said, go and sin no more. That is repentance. That is a command to repent. It means just go. Where you are going before, they took you from somewhere. Go back there. But have a change of heart even while you are there. Now that is repentance. Many of you do not understand this concept now because you don't know what the depth of knowledge is all about. Now, repentance is not that, okay, let's say someone killed people before. Now, repentance is changing the mind. There's something that influences him or her to kill. Now, repentance is now changing that mindset. The way you used to think that will make you steal. The way you used to think that will make you kill. The way you used to think that will make you cheat. Change that manner of thinking into the knowledge of the kingdom. That is what repentance is. Repentance is a total change from the order of darkness to light. Through your actions, through your life, through your words, through everything about you. When you repent, anyone that sees you should know that something has changed in you. Now if you profess to be a Christian and there is no difference between you and an unbeliever, you need to check your level of repentance. The reason why I'm saying this is because we have come to a time in this age where people cannot really differentiate who a Christian is. You will hear people come with perverted knowledge, and people will say things like, we are all serving the same God. You have heard that before.
that Muslims, Christians, everybody is the same God we are serving.
No. That is a darkened counsel. Anybody that comes with a gospel of universality, that okay, Jesus is in Islam, okay, they mention Jesus in the Bible, okay, they mention Jesus can be Buddha, Jesus can be Shinto, Jesus can be this, okay, let's combine all of it together and agree. That is a perverted knowledge. When some people come to you and make you to understand that there is nothing wrong in cheating, at least wisdom is profitable to direct, that is a perverted knowledge. When there's anything that is against what God stands for in all similitude and in all personality, that is a perverted knowledge. But the point is that many of us may not really know all these things because we don't know God. The only God we know is the God someone has shared with us. The God you hear from the altar. The God you see in the movies. Like, okay, there's Jesus movie and the movie you watch. Now you need to understand that many of the things you watch, many of the things you hear, they are perverted knowledge. The only thing you need to agree with is anything that conforms to the Bible. Anything that shifts away from the Bible is not of God. Simple. That is the level of knowledge Christians need to move with. That is the level of understanding Christians need to work with. Outside all of that, we are working for the devil. We need to understand that. There's something called, there's a tactic that the devil always uses that has worked over time. It's called angular shift. Now, angular shift means that you don't completely go away. You just shift a little bit. You just bring something. You just bring another luggage, something that is not of God. You just add it to what you used to do before, which is outside of what God tells you to do. Now, when you do that long enough, over time, you realize that you've shifted away from God. Let me make you understand what angular shift is. If the way I'm standing now, if I keep going straight, maybe I will land in PS. Now, angular shift is telling me that since this is PS and I want to go to PS, there's nothing wrong if I just shift a little bit. If I'm going like this, if this will take me to PS. Angular shift means there's nothing wrong if I just go like this. That the difference is not much, it's still close. But as I keep walking, over time, by the time the person who takes this path gets to PS, me that I'm taking this path, maybe it's Ololo or somewhere else I'll find myself. That is how angular shift works. The devil will begin to bring little things to you. The devil doesn't come big. He brings little things. He entices you with little things. The moment those things catch your attention, he knows your weakness. And he begins to hammer on it. And over the years, you get to realize that you've lost touch with God. And all you are playing is religion and philosophies. We need to understand what angular shift is and stop it the moment you sense it. The moment you hear something like, oh, it's not too bad, you can just add it, and there's a nudge in your spirit that this is not completely of God, do not compromise. Abraham made an angular shift. God told him he will have a son. God will give him a son. He made an angular shift because his wife told him, was pressurizing him, and Ishmael was born. Now, the generation of Ishmael is one of the generations that is causing global uproar today. Now, if Abraham never made that angular shift, we may never have the problems we are having today. I also want you to understand that as you are, many of you have made angular shifts that you don't know now. Maybe in the next 5 years, in the next 3 years, that is when you begin to realize that you've gone far away from where you expect yourself to be. Many of you, God has told you a lot of things. You know some things about your future, you'll be this, you'll be that, and all of that. And you are going in the trend. But some things happen today, some things happen tomorrow, and you begin to give in to those things. Those things control and change the direction of our lives. Praise God. We need to understand the tactics of the devil. We need to understand how the devil works, and we need knowledge. Knowledge is that thing that can help us overcome, and not just any kind of knowledge. The knowledge of God. Somebody say the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is that thing that will make you understand what God wants, how God wants it, and when God wants it. I'll be closing with some examples, some important things you need to know about your life, that once you don't know it, fulfilling purpose will be difficult. Now I'm going to give an example of some people who did this in the scriptures. There are three things that you need to know in your life. These things must be what you know about every day of your life. The moment you miss one of these things every day, then you are taking an angular shift. And the more you keep going in the direction of where you are going, you are missing your mark in life. The first thing you need to know is your place. Somebody say your place. Now, your place is a personal location. Your place is a certain grace that God has given you. Your place is something God has imparted unto you that is unique about yourself. That now, the moment you take your eyes away from your place and you start looking on to somewhere else, then you are missing your mark in life. The second thing you need to understand is your time. Somebody say your time. Somebody say your time. I want you to understand this. If your goal in life is to be a football player, you definitely know that from 18 to like 27, that's the basic years where you can shine your career as a football player. Now, maybe during those times you were chasing business and you made lots of millions. Now, when you now go to 35, you now remember that the vision, the purpose God called you for is to be a football player. Now, at age 35, you're now going to the academy and you're telling them that I heard God. God told me I will be a football player. That's why I'm coming here. We need to understand something, that when God tells us something, there is timing, there's a window of opportunity. The moment that window closes, we lose a certain season of our life. And we need to wait until the season comes back. And many of us do not recover when the season comes back. I said the first thing you need to know about yourself, about your purpose, is your place. The second thing is your time. The third thing is your God. The third thing is your God. I want you to understand this. God is everything. But there is a certain attribute of God, there is a certain dimension of God that He will reveal to you. For example, if God has called you to be a healing evangelist, He will reveal His healing side to you. If God has called you to be a businessman, He will reveal His wisdom side of you, or His strategic side to you. If God has called you to be a craftsman, He will deposit diligence, wisdom, creativity into you. Now you need to know the God that you work with. The moment you are chasing the God, maybe God is revealing Himself to me as my provider, and your destiny is to show forth the healing power of God. If you come to me and all your life you are learning about God as a provider, you will never fulfill purpose. That is why you need to understand that you are not to look at other people. Paul said something. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, Christ is the yardstick. The moment Paul leaves Christ, we have the audacity to leave Paul. Because the only reason we should follow Paul is because he is following Christ. And evidently, what Paul expects us is not that we perpetually follow him, but we grow in knowledge until we begin to pursue Christ ourselves. Now, if you go into the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, you will see these three things there. You see the place, you see the time, and you see the God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there is a timeless
part of God. It shows the place of time. I'm using God as an example for this one. He said God created heaven and earth. Heaven and earth, they are places. They are locations. Now, God himself was the one who did the creating. Now, these three things must be present in your life if you wish to fulfill purpose. Now, if you also go to the book of John 1:1, you will see the same thing. You will see God, you will see a time, you will see a place. If you also go to the book of Genesis chapter 28, let's go to Genesis 28, because that's one that is not really about God, it's very pastoral. Genesis 28 talks about the experience of Jacob when he got to a place and he made some shocking findings about the presence of God and the identity of God. Genesis chapter 28, from verse 11. I'll read. It says that, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Now, taking one of the stones of the place, he put out under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. And your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And by you and your descendants shall be the families of the earth bless themselves. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone which he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in his way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothes to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for an altar shall be God's house, and of all that thou givest me, I will give the tenth to thee. Now, we need to understand something here. The important clause here is what Jacob says. He says, the Lord has been here, and I did not know it. Now, he did not have a knowledge of what was happening in the place he was. But the moment he slept, he had an encounter with God, and things were changed. And he saw God in a new light. And it was from that moment that the path of the life of Jacob changed. Now, this is what we're going to do. You need to understand that these three things, your time, your place, and your God, must be revealed to you before you can make any significant step in life. So this is what we're going to be doing today in the next 5 minutes, in the next 10 minutes. We're going to be praying. Because many of us have futures ahead of us. Many of us have destinies ahead of us. But we don't know anything yet. That was why I prayed for the knowledge of God, that we know his knowledge. The moment we know his knowledge, things will change. Our lives will change. And it is from that moment that everything we begin to do begins to make sense. This morning I want us to rise up on our feet. I want you to understand that when it comes to the things of God, some things can never be taught. Some things must be taught. Jacob did not read a book
that said there is a certain place that he has to go, that God is there. But per adventure, per chance, by divine orchestration, he saw into the realms of heaven. Just the same way John saw into the realms of heaven. Just the same way Moses had an encounter of God, time and place. And that changed the course of his life. I want you to tell God today that, Father, I need that knowledge that will reveal to me my time, my place, and my God. Because these are the things that you need to change your life. These are the things you need to change the course of your life. These are the things you need to change your world. Tell God that, open me up to the realms of your knowledge, that I will understand, I will see the place you have for me, that I will know the time that you have for me, that I will know who God is to me. I'm not saying you should pray a silent prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with all sense of seriousness. In the next 3 minutes, we are done. But I want these 3 minutes to mean something to your destiny. I want these 3 minutes to change something in the course of your life. I want these 3 minutes to mean something, to be a point that you will refer to in time, that yes, this was a certain time. I got that knowledge. This was a certain time. I had the revelation of the place, of the time, and of the God that I serve. Because if you don't know these 3 things, nothing can change. You will just keep going in circles. You will just keep searching for God. But until God shows up and he tells you who he is to you, and he tells you the time of your manifestation, and he tells you the place of your ordained destiny, that is what will happen. That is when things will happen. Many of you don't know yet that all you is your place. Some of you, all you may not even be your place, but you need God to tell you your place. Tell God, cry out to God, that, Father, today, just the same way Jacob slept, and that night he had a revelation, he had an encounter that changed the course of his life. Tell God that today I want to have a revelation, I want to have an encounter that will change the course of my life, that will change the consciousness of destiny, that will make me to understand my spiritual identity, that will let me know who God is to me, that will know the path to follow, that will know the people to move, that will know the place, the time, and the God. Tell God, show up to me today. Show up to me today. We need to be violent in prayer. The Bible says that in the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violence taken by God. In translation says, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has legalized violence. That means it is permitted to take the things of the kingdom violently. I need you to understand that your destiny is bigger than you see. Many of you don't know where God is taking you to. Many of you don't know what God is imparting into you. Many of you don't know the destinies you have in God. But once you understand, and God shows up, and he tells you who he is to you, and he tells you your place, and he shows you your time, then everything will work well. Tell God, Father, I want you to show me today. I pray that you open the heaven, that I will see the heavens open. The heaven is opened already, but you need to see, not with the physical eyes, but with the eyes of the spirit. I need you to understand, Jacob saw heaven open. He saw a ladder. John saw heaven open. He was called up. He was lifted up. Jacob saw angels ascending, descending. You need to see something. You need to see something about heaven. Tell God, open my eyes. I want to see. Open my eyes. I want to see. I want you to show me. Show me who I am. Show me who you are. Tell me what I'm destined to become. If you don't have this knowledge, you may never maximize what God has presented to you. But when you tell God in all sincerity and reverence to the name of God, that God, show me. I want to know. I want to know your divine knowledge. I want to know your divine counsel for my life. Whatever part in what you are facing in your academic, God can show up. God can tell you times. God can tell you places. God can show himself to you. But you need that knowledge. Knowledge is that weapon that you carry that will make everything easy for you. Knowledge is that weapon you carry that will break the mountain. Knowledge is that thing that you need that will make you overcome the enemy. Without knowledge, you can never win without knowledge. You can never win without knowledge. You need the knowledge of God. You need the Spirit of God to bring His knowledge upon you. Tell God, bring your knowledge upon me. Cause me to see. Cause me to know. Cause me to understand. What you have prepared for me before the foundation of the world. What is my place? What is my time? Who is my God? You must know your God. You must know who God is to you. The Bible says that those that know their God be true mighty exploits. You must know your God. If you don't know your God, you can't excel. Because all you'll be doing is you are copying the revelation of God to another person. You must know the revelation of God for you to you. That will be the secret of your power. That will be the secret of your lifting. That will be the secret of your success. That will be the secret of your provision. That will be the secret of your life. But without that knowledge, you cannot function in total success. Without that knowledge, you cannot function in total victory. Without that knowledge, you cannot function in total triumph. Tell God that this knowledge, I want it. This knowledge, I need it. This knowledge, I desire it. Give it to me. Show me. God, show up in my life and give me knowledge. The knowledge of the kingdom. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of His promises. The knowledge of His purpose for you. The knowledge of His plan. All that He has created for you to enjoy. You must know the knowledge. The place He has created for you. Don't think of it. He said, stay in Egypt. I will stay in Egypt. That is your place. If you move out of Egypt, you move out of your place. And you cannot excel outside your place. Tell God, the Father, if I have lost alignment for my place, God, take me back. If I have missed the road, God, take me back. If I have lost something that I'm taking me away, God, I repent today. I change my ways. I turn away from my wicked ways. I turn away from transgression, and I am ready to follow. Tell God that you can't do anything. It is not by your power. It is not by your mind. But it is by this knowledge. It is by the knowledge of God that you know your identity. It is by the knowledge of God that you know your place. That you know your grace. That you know your talent, that you know what you should do, that you know who to meet with. It is the knowledge of God. I need someone to cry out for that knowledge. That God, I want this knowledge. I desire. I ask for this knowledge. God, show up. Whatever I'm doing that is not in alignment, if there is no balance in my life, bring up of which God takes charge. One of the things we need to understand is that the only thing the devil attacks is the knowledge of God. The only thing the devil attacks is the knowledge of your victory, the knowledge of your prosperity, the knowledge of your success. That is why the devil will tell you that you're a failure. That is why the devil will tell you you must carry that cross. But if you do not have a knowledge of your success, you will listen to the darkening counsel. This moment, I pray for us this moment, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of light, will shine upon our hearts, and every form of darkness, every form of obscurity, every lie of the devil, every manipulation, every mirage, everything that is not of God, every smokescreen, that the light of the Lord will shine upon us, and His knowledge will be made manifest in the name of Jesus. If there are things that we are doing, I pray for the boldness and courage to repent and turn from our wicked ways and find alignment and balance with the things of God. I say, Father, release unto us in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, this day according to your word, that these ones here, they will have an encounter with your knowledge and your person in the name of Jesus. Everything concerning their destiny, concerning their purpose, concerning all you have created them to become, all of the knowledge that is required, Father, I ask and I pray that, Lord, you will give and you will bring unto them in the name of Jesus. And I pray for one thing, oh God, that in the time, in the season when you bring that knowledge, they will not miss it in the name of Jesus. Father, concerning everything, Lord, we ask that your kingdom will take preeminence in all we do, in all we seek, and in all we are in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Father, because you always answer our prayers. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.